it. So lab testing.
Cost effective reports additional testing.
What else?
That would, does that assume the experts' cost to come?
Well, I think that would include that. I mean, because that's the other thing.
Wouldn't be much good to do a lab test in Pennsylvania if you can't.
Right. Well, and that would go.
They may at that point though clean out DNA testing, things like that. You get the wet vacuuming that they do at other locations. They don't do it our facility.
I think it seems
like a lot of those, like the testing, like unique types of testing, mm-hmm. that's more an expense that like law enforcement agencies would bear.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, we would bear the cost of paying for that expert to come.
Okay.
But like anything like unique technologies, that's more law enforcement.
I don't think that's always the case. Yeah. For example, you'll have a homicide case where you learn about a new type of testing that's happening somewhere in the country after you've already filed the case.
Right.
And those are not ones where we'll send it back to law enforcement, but it is going to be expensive.
We also had law enforcement agencies that were small. When some of this DNA stuff was pretty new, really expensive to send it back, was one in Pennsylvania, whatever that was. And they would have a hard time, so we would split it with them. So that kind of expense, I think, might.
So, but we're basically talking about like new advancements in technology like that.
I think so. I mean, I think that's why it would be unusual is, you know, if our state crime lab doesn't do it.
I will say, I do remember doing these years ago, and they were rarely submitted for new and unusual things. It was basically, this was an expensive prosecution, you want to pay for it, or help pay for it. And in my mind, and I could be wrong here, it should have been geared towards jurisdictions that don't have the budget for these, they can't flex. Mm-hmm. But it was submitted, it was by counties that probably could have afforded it, but it saw it as a chance to get reimbursement.
Well, the statute says unusual expense, but do we want to massage that in terms of what kinds of cases we look at and, you know, what kinds of cases get reimbursed?
Require an affidavit of impecuniosity.
I realize I'm not a council member, but I thought a lot about this in regards to our budget and where money's best used. And we heard a proposal at our last council meeting about a very, very expensive prosecution that may not happen unless something like this happens. And I just don't think even the full $20,000 award is going to be the difference between prosecuting a $2 million prosecution or not, right?
Forensic accounting stuff.
And so I would just caution the council to be very, very selective on this, on what Jeff just said, that we're not using UPC budget just to subsidize other people's role to prosecute. It should be something that truly is exceptional, it's unusual, and they don't have other ways to be able to do it.
Well, and I think in the past, these were all on cases that had already been prosecuted and the expense had already been paid, not
correct.
Something was prospective.
Yeah. Correct. Right.
I would, again, I'm not on the council, but I would almost suggest limiting to counties of the third through sixth class or something like that.
I think we submitted one
probably the year
before I was elected on a murder case that happened in our county where we ended up buying a German single-shot handgun that the defendant said he used that specific gun in a case, but we were unable to recover it. So the prosecutors, they purchased one, did some light testing on what was done, and so that was our unusual expense. It was only $700 or $800, but it was...
But you know, to Jeff's point that it's already been, these funds have already been expended, is I think the reason was is because we don't want to spend funds that, you know, we may not have at the end of the year. So, I mean, I get that. But do we need to look at a policy where if you can't, where we would make an award earlier in the year is if, you know, not having these funds available is prohibiting you or preventing you from filing a case or pursuing a case? Would we want to consider those and not just make it an end of the year award?
I don't have an objection to considering things, but I just think it's something we'll have to look at on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
And doesn't the statute require it be a reimbursement?
I don't know that I've printed it.
Application requesting reimbursement of unusual prosecution.
Oh, yeah, reimbursement. Okay, so that would require a statutory change.
I'm looking at this policy and I think it's good. I mean, it, in general, it requires them to explain why it's an expense of an unusual nature.
Right.
So even if your specific examples are broad and would cover other things that may not be unusual, they still have to explain why that expense is unusual.
Right. So I just didn't know if we wanted to increase or list some additional expenses. Like we talked about the unusual, the testing, new things like that. That I can word and work into that. But generally speaking, does this pass everybody's approval? Okay.
And Bob, let me just ask a question, because I think I heard you say earlier this wouldn't apply to only Class A misdemeanors or above.
Well, it says it. Sorry, you're right. I guess I should clarify that. It says state offenses. And just historically looking at what the council had approved in the past, it was only,
okay.
It was all felonies. And so,
it says state laws, and yeah. City prosecutors prosecute state laws as well.
Yeah.
Sure. They don't represent the state in that, but they prosecute state laws.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I can think of one of them that we didn't have to use, but we could have. We had a DUI case where the guy was using an inhalant. We actually took blood and found evidence of the inhalant in his blood that would have dissipated had there been a later test. But we didn't have to, he pled, so we didn't have to bring in an expert to testify from Pennsylvania, I think, where it sent out to the lab.
Yeah.
So that, in my case, that would have been unusual for a city prosecution.
Right. And so I guess, thank you for
just.
No, I appreciate that, Tyson. I can't speak to this. So again, Stephen and Jeff or Marilyn. Was it the council's policy back then only to look at reimbursement for counties?
I don't think so, but I don't think it ever came up.
I don't know that it ever came up. I don't think anybody ever tried to spit one from the city.
We had a long time where nobody said it.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's why it really went away, is because we went several years with no submissions, so that it just wasn't brought up.
Right, okay.
And we were running low on our,
right.
our funds.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't get a reimbursement on salary, so. Okay, anything else on the reimbursement that you want me to consider? I'll follow this plan, announce it. I'll announce it at fall. Yeah, I said fall OMPA, and then go from there, okay? Okay, so that addresses the 24 budget.
One other thing on the budget.
Oh, yes.
Unless I'm mistaken, and I could be, we set aside a pile of money for bonuses, and then we gave part of that money out to see, kind of how things shook out with the legislature. And so we still have a smaller pile left.
That would be part of the carryover, yeah.
What do we want to do with that? Or does everybody have any ideas what we should do?
How much is left over after the things we...
Just a second.
I think it could be 11.
Yeah. In last year's budget, I took the lead of the council from the year before, where you generously awarded $5,000 to each of the UPC employees. So I budgeted for $25,000. Last year, you awarded $11,000, so that would have left $14,000.
Sorry, I had it backwards.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So that's the addendum. Ed asked me about this last night, so that's why I prepared this addendum. And so just be aware that there is, in Utah Admin Code 477-6-7, which does say that a single ward, maximum single ward is 4,000 and a max of 8,000 per year. And then you can see the rest of the AG internal policies surrounding that. So I don't think the council can exceed. I don't think you can exceed, 8,000 per employee per year. So just be mindful of that, as well as what the AGO policy is in terms of awards for directors and additional full-time employees. But yes, there would be part of that carryover would be the $14,000 that was budgeted for incentive awards.
So how much is budgeted in this?
And this coming year, as I stayed with the AG policy, and so I have budgeted $7,800. The budget that you have in front of you, I mistyped it. It says 86, but the actual, I have changed it, so the budget that will be approved would be 7,800. So that would reflect a $2,600 bonus for the director and a $1,300 bonus for each of the FTEs.
And that goes along with the AG's office policy?
That does.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes, that's the internal.
It's not the AG's, it's just the state's.
No, well, no, no, let me clarify that, Dan. So under that addendum, paragraph A, which says the AGO, that is AG policy. That's what I've got from the director of, Scott Meekham, director of, what's Scott's title?
Oh, that's how much you're allowed in your budget.
No, 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 no.
That doesn't set the actual awards.
That is the attorney general's policy that they would like us to follow.
Okay, so what is the state code? I thought state code said you were limited to a certain amount.
Yeah, state code says a single award of $4,000 and a maximum of $8,000 per year. So state
per
FTE. So per state code, you can award much more. The AG policy restricts that, but that's just the AG policy. State code allows you to do more.
And I think our original intent, because we did 5,000 the year before, was to repeat that. But we wanted to wait and see.
We wanted to wait, but part of the waiting was because we heard about the big salary bump the AG was asking for and got, which I didn't expect. Good job.
So the 4,000, 8,000 is a hard limitation.
Correct.
The 2,600, 1,300 is
AG.
An AG's guideline that we should look at for diplomatic, is that the word you use, diplomatic reasons?
But this year, with the increases we're looking at making in our budget, I would suggest this year, as far as any bonus go, we try and stick with the AG's amounts to be friendly, because we're also looking at paying them more than what some of the equivalent AG's would be making. Or bumping Bob up to where he should be, actually. At least partially where he should be.
My thought would be to use the bonus, at least for Tyson and the other employees. The gap between Bob and Tyson, you know, that $10,000 is just kind of sticking in my mind a little bit as opposed to four. If we could use part of the bonus to get Tyson just a little bit closer, that would make me more comfortable. But that's just me.
I gotta be honest, I would love to have a discussion with that, you guys in the room.
Let's have
So I would move that we invite staff to maybe excuse themselves.
Okay, just a second.
So you want a closed session? Like yes. A formal closed session?
Yes, just a second.
I don't know that's... It's not because I don't like you guys. I think probably easier conversation you have to be a part of.
I don't know if that's a purpose to do an official closed session.
You need HR actually. Personnel, yeah.
Is it? Okay, yeah. I was going to say we can do a quasi one with us just leaving.
Well, we can close the meeting. I have an affidavit that I'll have Ed sign as the council chair. The sole purpose for closing the meeting is to discuss under subsection two, character and competence. Yeah.
There's way more copy than that would be.
Right. Okay. So.
I think if we're going to talk about Bob's performance, that's competence.
Yeah.
And yes. Character competence. We can co-close for this.
Yeah. So Marilyn, I need you to log off and then come back on. Marilyn?
Okay, text me when you're ready for me to come back on.
I will.
Looks like Angela Adams is on.
Well, she can stay. Can we just mute the room? Oh, I guess we've got other council members.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay, so Ron, I have a caveat. I need to share something with the council, and then I will leave. Okay. But I need it to be enclosed.
As long as we're enclosed. Right. And it's about character or competence.
Right.
See you, Jeff.
Actually, no. I have to talk later on recording it.
That's fine because it's posted publicly.
Yeah.
Well,
but not for a while.
But this section of the closed meeting should not be posted.
This section should be actually not recorded.
Start again. Okay. So there's a motion to close the meeting. So who made the motion? Dan Burton.
Second.
Ryan Peters. Second. All right. So the meeting is closed, and I'm stopping the recording. There you go. Sorry, you need a vote. Jeez. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Now we're closed.
Carried.
Okay. We are back online. Let me try to start the online recording. Oh, Tyson, will you text Marilyn?
Yep.
Please.
Do we have to have our vote to go back into public session
recorded also, or?
I think we just annotated on the record, say a motion was made, and